Hello everyone, welcome back. This is Chander in Palo Alto.
Hi, this is Arne in Oslo.
So holiday season is upon us, and I think Oslo will probably have more celebrations and outdoor activities than Palo Alto, where the outdoor shops have closed. Cases are on rise for coronavirus. How is it in Oslo, Arne?
Well, it's pretty much better than most of the world, but it's still more restrictions than we had most of the year. And I'm sure Oslo and the rest of the world is just so ready to get 2020 over with.
Yeah, I don't know why that is. Like, nothing's gonna change. It's just a change in a day. The virus is still here. Like, the vaccine will change things, not the change in the year.
Yeah, but I just think it feels like a super long year, and there is a hope that, vaccines will be, starting in early in the year, and, there will be gradual improvement. I think the hope is that it will go quicker maybe here, that it's not as widely spread as in the US.
Yeah. We have to welcome our new users. listeners. Welcome to Valley Nordic. This is a podcast about culture, technology, and startup business from Silicon Valley and Oslo perspectives. And today is our final episode of 2020, since Arne wants the year to be over. We are doing our podcast for this year, and also next year in 2021 we'll move to a bi-weekly schedule from weekly schedule. So the next episode will be on January 14th, and we are doing that because Arne is choosing to make more money than sharing his knowledge.
Yeah, that's the capitalist part of being a venture capitalist.
Yeah, okay. So we want to end the year with trends in 2020, which actually we talked about. That was our last episode in 2019 on trends to observe in 2020. So mainly what we'll do today is go over these 20 trends and see if they're on the upswing, downswing, or the same, or we don't know. How does it sound, Arne?
Sounds good. I guess we were brave and sticking our head out, and a year ago, and saying what we think about the future, which is always difficult. I think to be honest, you stuck your head further out, Chandler. But let's see where we were.
Yeah, and I will post the list in the show notes. So if you forgot what they were or you want to read more, you can refer to the list. Okay. So the first one we said was phone calls on decline, meaning especially millennials and younger people, they don't really use phone calls so much. They use Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram message, text messaging. So the phone-to-phone call that maybe Arne and I used to, like calling somebody a phone number, is on decline. So what do you think, Arne? What in 2020 did they go, that go up, down, same?
Yeah, so it's a hard one. I think, first of all, 2020 has become a different year than we thought in 2019 or the end of 2019 because of COVID, obviously. So there's been a lot of sort of change of trajectory because of that. And I would say that phone calls is on the decline on a relative basis, but not necessarily on an absolute basis, simply because the pandemic, people have had to stick to new way, communicating electronically more. So probably the total volume of phone calls is not down, but I would still say it's losing position to text and video which has, you know, Zooming and so forth, which has really been the trend of this year. So voice phone calls losing ground, I would say, is a true trend.
Yeah. So I agree. It's video is on the rise, and, you know, FaceTime and Zoom, as we know, has taken over the whole world. So when we say phone call, we mean like human to human. So that's, you know, me calling Arna over a phone line. The absolute number of, let's say, phone calls may have been higher this year because of elections, spam calls, and robo marketing, etc. But the trend we identified was phone calls on decline. That I think is still true, or the trend is on upswing, meaning calls are continuing to decline. And I did, you know, very quick Google search. So there were some articles when the lockdown started, they, in March, April, they kind of went up a little bit, but then people took on to Zoom and it went down. Yeah. So
yeah. Absolutely. But the big loser of the year is face to face. But, you know, that's driven by pandemic, not by trends.
Yeah. I think despite pandemic, the trend still holds and it's the upswing. Phone calls.
I agree.
Okay. Second is convenience over self-reliance. That is, you know, again, younger people, like they choose to stay with their, on their parents' family plan and maybe live with their parents, be on their healthcare plan. All that is very practical. But when Arne and I were growing up, we wanted to be independent and not rely for anything on our parents. And I would say this is also on the upswing, and the virus may have helped it more. What do you think, Arne?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's hard to say, is it the virus or is it the trend? You know, people went home from college and stayed with their parents again. So I think, you know, it's definitely on the upswing. However, it, you know, there's lots of noise in that picture this year. But I think the also underlying trend goals, that's the gut feeling at least.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, you know, people we know, we see it, what's happening. Third is rental over ownership. That is, you know, it's instead of buying things, people prefer to rent things more now. I think example we gave last year was Spotify, Apple Music, etc. We used to own music. Now we, you know, rent music. We used to own movies. Now we have subscription to Netflix. And software as a service, that's also a rental model. So I would say, and Uber also is, you know, many people are choosing not to own a car. So home ownership is on decline. So this, I would say, also is on the upswing. That hasn't changed or hasn't reversed. What do you think, Arne?
Well, we can talk about software as a service. Did I ever mention that I like that? Or did you mention that ever, maybe?
I like that?
Yeah.
Everybody who listens to you, who knows, like you the most, what you love most is B2B SaaS, is defined Arne.
Exactly. And, you know, look at the stock market. Yeah. And what has happened to SaaS. And, you know, the trend has been accelerated, particularly in that field. The one place where I say the trend has shifted a little bit this year is actually, and once again, you know, pandemic versus trend and what correlates. I think in Norway we've seen, and in some other places we've seen, that the people who are not hit have actually less opportunity to spend their money on services, and some of that money has gone into more property. But I think that's a fluke of the pandemic more than a change of trend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, I think It's tough to find causation, what caused it, but we are more mainly looking at, okay, we said this is the trend to observe. Is it on upswing or downswing? So it's still on upswing. We can point to data there, especially for B2B SaaS. And also increase in subscription services, which is all related to renting. And also home rentals. People are buying less properties. It may be because of pandemic or who knows. But overall, the trend holds in the up direction.
Yep.
Okay, next is random encounters. What that means is, you know, we used to have like go to coffee shops. This is, you know, despite pandemic, people used to meet random people in bars, coffee shop, buses, trains, etc. But because now we are usually on our headphones or watching our phone, that those encounters are on decline. But on the other hand, the random encounters on online are on the rise on Twitter, etc. You can interact with users. What do you think happened this year, Arne?
I am absolutely sure random encounters overall has gone down. And quite frankly, I think serendipity is the biggest victim of COVID.
Yeah.
It's terrible, both in personal life and in business life and everything. Mm. And I would say that the real world is much better for serendipity than online. We have not been able to replicate serendipity online fully. So I definitely think this trend has been strengthened.
Yeah, yeah. So it's random encounters in physical world continue to decline, and random encounters on the digital world, they're either, I would say, same or up. They're not on decline. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Next is feelings prioritization. So I think most of these trends are younger people. The younger people tend to prioritize feelings over intellectual honesty and debate. They have different communication styles, so they're much more sensitive to feelings. And we saw how, at least in the US college campuses, there were bans on not necessarily free speech, but things which were controversial or may hurt other people's feelings. So people, you know, were not sharing them. What do you think happened this year, Arne?
So this is the one where I think I disagree. Particularly in the US, 2020 is marked by being an election year with extreme polarization and conflict. So I think it's definitely been one where people have used big words and conflict rather than staying out of conflict. Now, of course, I don't know to what extent this speaks for the younger people in particular, but I definitely think it's been a year of conflict.
Yeah, I think we saw in the US there was uprising against the, killing of George Floyd and racial injustice. The people were more expressing their concerns and feelings. It's more, yeah, I would say I don't know enough. It's like neutral for me, because we're not talking about broad, it's a different thing. If people protest against injustice, that's not really, it's not that type. Of course, they're feeling it's unfair and they're expressing that. That's different than in one-to-one conversation and a group conversation or let's say online conversation where you kind of care more about hurting other people's feelings than having an honest intellectual debate. So the world is kind of shut down. So I don't know what happened. And these online, these things are never as, let's say, in my view, useful than like person-to-person debates or gatherings.
I think you know, the world has gone more online this year, and online world is more prone to echo chamber yelling at other groups type of thing, and that's why I think, you know, there's a breaking trend, so to speak.
Yeah, so it's, you know, you see the election results, like people, country is still divided, and the two sides are not talking to each other because they're worried about hurting their feelings. So there's not debate happening about differences, or I would say not enough debate happening about differences. So that's why I'm saying it's neutral, or the trend still holds. But that's tough to say. Harder than the other ones we talked about. Okay, let's go to the next one. That's happiness seeking. So it's the pursuit of happiness. So I think the idea was, we used to think happiness comes from material things. Now the trend is moving towards, you know, yoga, meditation, and other internal happiness. And it's regular topic of conversation. So people, like at least my generation, my parents' generation, it may be cultural as well. I grew up in India. We didn't really talk about happiness. And in 2019 or years before that, I noticed that was a regular topic of conversation. What do you think happened in 2020? The trend holds, goes up, down?
I think it holds. I mean, happiness is a good thing. I'm happy and I keep seeking for more of it. And the people who are less happy than me seek for it even more. So I think it's definitely a strong trend.
Yeah, I think it's also what I noticed in 2020, people are realizing the importance of relationships and how that is helpful in happiness. Because suddenly you can't see people you like, you realize how much happiness comes from just spending time with people.
Yeah.
Okay, next is space tech. So we're expecting a lot of cool things to happen in space tech in coming years. So I think cool things did happen. What do you think, Arne?
Absolutely. Lots of events this year as well on the space tech side. And, you know, actually on multiple levels, both nations and companies and, you know, the use of satellites and so forth. And then you have SpaceX, which is essentially, you know, a space marketing machine.
Yeah. Well, the big thing was the Falcon 9 launch, which I saw live, and we must have talked about it in one of the episodes.
Yeah.
And China launched something last week to collect something from Moon. I forget the details, but I think that was also a huge achievement.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that trend holds and it's on the upswing. Next is China flexing its muscle. So, you know, China is a rising economic power, and I think their Belt and Road Initiative is $1 trillion initiative. We saw last year Italy signed on to that. Africa is very much dominated by China. And we saw, I don't know if people remember, like, China last year was able to shut down any, let's say, bad things anybody said about China outside of China. I think it was NFL or NBA, some
NBA. NBA.
So that's huge dominance. And this year, I think the flexing continues. Like, they have the vaccine. I think it's going to UAE, or I forget the details, but the trend here is on the upswing. What do you think, Arne?
Absolutely. I mean, China got a rocky start to the year with the pandemic, but muscle for sure. It goes everything to sort of impacting the World Health Organization, how to deal with it, to Hong Kong, which is the ultimate example, essentially just steamrolling Hong Kong, and just continuing the direction China's been on.
Yeah. And another big thing that happened a few months ago is China signed a regional trade agreement. I forget the name, R something, which is basically, you know, one third of the world GDP will move through within that trade agreement. That's huge achievement. China is the biggest country within that agreement. So previously the idea was TPP, that was US was leading that to counterbalance China's dominance, but they were not able to sign that. But now it's opposite has happened. China has signed an Asian agreement for free trade within the Asian region.
So you know, I think the trend definitely holds, but there have been some tech stories that are sort of, you know, the fact that the world is reacting back, and some of it warranted and some of it not. But, you know, the subplots around TikTok in the US and India blocking apps and this sort of thing is part of this story. So it's been an eventful year on this front.
Yeah, so that's part of, you know, them flexing their muscle. Like,
they, absolutely. Yeah. It's a counter reaction to the main trend, if you like.
Yeah. Yeah, so that also holds, or it's on the uprise, upswing. Okay, next is private equity rising. That's PE is private equity. So, you know, more money going into PE and investments going from PE than, let's say, public markets. I would say that's what you are the money man. So, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, so I think, you know, actually, looking at it, I would say the main long-term trend holds, but actually this trend has sort of been a little bit up and down for this year. I think in terms of the long trend, there's a very good research paper that was published this year by Morgan Stanley showing how the, you know, the returns in the financial markets have transferred from public markets to private markets over the last 40 years and so forth. I can share a link to this. It's a very good paper. So that shows the long-term trend. I think the reason why I'm saying it's rocky is that if you look at the positives, is essentially that, you know, it's been a great year for IPO and tech and so forth. And this has, you know, led to lots of returns to venture investors and this sort of thing. So that parts of the market has performed stunningly. But to be honest, there's also like Q2, for example, was because when uncertainty hits, you know, the people that put money into the PE funds and venture funds and so forth pause a little bit and say, well, you know, what's happening and so forth. So there was sort of a pausing period. And there's also been a little bit of a slowdown towards the end. So I think fundraising will be down this year compared to last year. And we also have this SPACs that we talked about, which is sort of a counter trend, trying to grab back some value creation in the public markets and, you know, getting things, you know, access to public investors to this. And also the IPO market itself says that a lot of companies, big companies, have transferred from private market to the public market. So I would say I believe in the long trend, but it's not a, you know, plus, plus, plus picture. There's a plus and minus picture for the year.
Overall, given, you know, the SPACs and the amount of money going in relative to going into other places, I would say it's still on the upside. There may be ups and downs in the middle, but the net is still on the upswing.
I agree.
Okay. Next is American soft power on decline. So, you know, US pulled out of Paris Agreement, TPP, which we just talked about, that's Trans-Pacific Partnership. There were questions about NATO. So I would say that trend, soft power declining, continues, but we'll see how that changes next year. But if we just look at this year, I would say it holds. What do you think, Arne?
Strongly holds, is my view. I mean, the US used to be, you know, respected and envied, and looked up to, and sort of American culture, you know, was the thing everybody strived for. And this year is essentially where the rest of the world has laughed and pitied America and thought, how dysfunctional can it be, at the same time being distrusted? So people don't want to deal with the US if they can avoid it. So strong trend for the year.
And I would say a lot of it might have been how we handled the COVID response. You know,
more so the president.
Yeah. So the trend is on upswing, meaning the power continues to decline, soft power.
Yep.
Okay. Next is changing work culture. This is, you know, remote work was on rise even before this year. And the boundaries between, you know, work being a formal place and home being a, you know, casual place, people like in the tech, I think it happened before, people were wearing casual clothing and jeans and sometimes sweatpants and hoodies. But it's spreading to other industries. So, I mean, this is because of COVID, I think it's strong upswing. Everything's video conferencing now or remote work. What do you think?
Well, I think Chandra is a genius. I mean, December 2019, I think world work culture will change and will be more remote working. Well, there seems to have been a little bit of that for this year. So we'll give you that one, and we'll put our money on you next time you predict something.
Sounds good. Let's see how we can make money with that. You are the money man. Okay, next is urbanization. So here we saw until last year, people were moving from rural areas to urban areas because the economies are declining in rural areas and economies are growing in urban areas. So here I would say I was wrong because I see now it's the opposite. People are moving to more rural areas because of COVID. What do you think?
I think that's correct. I guess, you know, the urbanization has been a 100-year trend. But it's been speeding up. And I guess the question is it temporary blimp or is there a reversal of direction with remote working and this sort of thing? This is the one that's going to be really, really interesting to follow.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. Like, I would say this year, it's on, the trend doesn't hold, it declines. But longer term, we'll see. It depends on how popular remote work gets. Or how permanent it gets. Yeah.
Yeah.
Next is community feeling on decline. What that means is, you know, everybody's busy with work. Well, I'm looking at it. It says commute. Nowadays, there's no commute. But there's social media, you know, pursuing love, happiness. Life has become very convenient over the last few years. You can watch unlimited content at home, etc. So the feeling of, you know, you live in a neighborhood where you know your neighbor, you rely on them, you want to get to know a stranger, the feeling of community was on decline. And what do you think happened this year?
I actually think there's a very mixed signal of this. We've seen some communities dissolving or getting into big points of friction, where we've seen all other communities rising to the occasion, actually.
Like, give us an example.
What I've seen here in Norway around COVID and how you respond to that.
Mm-hmm. But that's like, you get the community feeling like you know your neighbor, and you know, it's more of a feeling that you're part of this neighborhood or work community or coffee shop community or, you know, bar community.
So from that perspective, it's on the decline. So the closeness is gone in the community is gone. But there is something that's happened in some parts of the community where you realize we're in the same boat, despite sitting at a distance within the boat.
Yeah. Yeah, yes, you're right. So the feeling of loneliness is still there. I would say that has increased.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. So it's on holds and on upswing. Next is role of a corporation in society is questioned. So here, what we meant was, you know, the idea of an organization in the US used to be, it exists to maximize shareholder value. And over the last, you know, 5-6 years, it was questioned, is that all corporations are supposed to do, or they are responsible for what happens in society? There was Occupy Wall Street movement, Business Roundtable changed their charter, which is probably the most influential group in the US for business. What do you think happened this year?
So I think the trend, I don't have as strong an opinion about this. I think the overall trend still holds, but I can't say that I feel that it's strengthened or slowed. I think people have just had other things to think about this year. I think tech corporations have been questioned somewhat, but otherwise I don't have as strong an opinion about it.
Yeah. You're right. This year, because of the pandemic, not much activity happened in that space. But there was some, I would say, at least in tech, it went in the opposite direction, where at least from employee perspective, like the tech companies, they asked everybody to work remotely, they shared concerns about employees. So that way they did, like, you know, let's say the right thing for society and their employees. But bigger picture, I think that remains unresolved, or we don't know if it holds or doesn't long term. It's kind of on pause.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, next is environment consciousness rising. That means, you know, for all the criticism people have about younger people, they actually care about the environment. They make conscious choices about what they buy based on how their purchase is impacting the environment. In general, there's broader understanding of human impact on the environment today than, let's say, a decade ago. How do you think it changed this year?
I still think it's on the rise, but it's a little bit similar to the last one. Is that it sort of follows the trend, but it's been slightly paused because of bigger concerns, which you could discuss whether they're environmental or others. Mm-hmm. But I still think it holds. And also, you see in the U.S. election, the environmental concerns was actually a pretty large mobilizer of young voters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I would say it holds and it's on the, still on the upswing. You saw China announced they're going to be carbon free by 2060, I think. So it's long time away, but it still tells you that the consciousness is rising. People are thinking about it and making commitments. And you see the products that are getting popular. Generally, they are, you know, ones that causing less harm or are conscious about the environment. Yeah?
Yep.
And next is health awareness increasing. So what that meant was people are becoming more aware of health choices and how food affects their body. Somehow in the US healthcare system, the doctors never ask you what you're eating when you go see them. We saw that with popularity of Impossible Foods and Beyond Meat. I think their sales are still increasing. I mean, so people question how much better they are for health because of the sodium content, but I think it's still better than eating meat. That's debatable. Salad bars increasing, and you have Apple Watch sales are rising. Their Peloton is in. So there are trends related to, some of it might be because of COVID. But I think in general, the trend holds. Health awareness is increasing. And COVID, in this case, you saw the death rate is higher among people who had underlying conditions. What do you think, Arne?
Yeah, no, I fully agree. I think, you know, the broad trend is definitely moving forward. I think there is obviously a question about which parts of the trend are accelerating at what rates, but I've seen, you know, more plant-based imitated meats, and pretty much in all elements of this, I've seen more awareness increasing, and then of course very high on some elements of it.
Oat milk is super popular now. Okay, next is podcast.
And that actually relates to the environmental concern as well, because it is more environmentally friendly with oat milk than soy or almond.
Yep. Okay, next is related to our podcast. That's podcasting is on the rise, meaning there are more podcasts and people are listening to more podcasts. So last year we saw there were 700,000 active podcasts just on Apple. And I looked up before our podcast. Now the number has almost doubled. They're all different data points, but I think it's almost double in 1 year. So I would say that's definitely on the uprise. What do you think, Arne?
Yeah, two important sub-trends to it. It's heated up in the tech market as well. There's been lots of M&A and people wrestling for the leadership of the segment. So it's definitely heating up. And then the most important statistic of all, last year there was 31 episodes of Valley Nordic. This year is 41. So it's proof that it's on the rise.
Yeah, and Spotify has made a strategic decision to become a player in that space, and they did a lot of, you know, not acquisition, but signed a lot of exclusive content deals.
They've also made acquisitions on the advertising side and the production side and so forth.
Yeah, but there were like two or three, but they signed a lot of, you know, exclusive deals.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, next. Is streaming continuing momentum, which means people are watching more and more streaming content at home. So last year, Netflix had 60 million subscribers in the US. I don't know what the number is now, but it's, I think, 66 million, or it's higher than 60 Disney Plus has. do you remember?
I think they have 60 now, more or less.
Disney Plus?
Disney Plus, yeah. I think that's worldwide, but I think they have 60 million now. They've grown super fast.
Yeah, they were 10 million last year at this time. So, like, 6x increase. And Apple TV Plus is launching new content. HBO Max is here now. Peacock is here now. YouTube TV, it's definitely on the upswing.
Okay, so I just Googled it. Disney Plus has 73 million subscribers. the objective was to reach 60 to 90 million subscribers in 2024.
Wow. So it's definitely on the upswing.
Yeah. It was, got an unexpected boost, but even so, it was always going to have momentum.
Yeah. And this is like a trend that has been continuing for almost 10 years. It's still gaining momentum. Okay, yeah. Next is artificial intelligence adoption increasing. That means AI is becoming more and more part of our life. You know, our smartphones use it. The personal assistants like Alexa, Siri, Google Home, they use it. And China is using it to track Uyghurs. And there's a lot of spyware. A lot of stuff we do online. Some AI is analyzing all that. So I would say that continues to increase. Some of it is visible, some of it is not visible. What do you think, Arne?
Absolutely growing. So one sort of personal experience for that, we're invested in a company called Aquabyte, which does machine vision and AI for fish farming. Mm-hmm. And it used to be in Norway that if you ran a fish farm, you had to pick up 20 fish off the pen every week and count sea lice manually, put it back in. Now, it was just approved to use computer vision with machine learning to do the same process without picking fish out. So it's, industry after industry, there are breakthroughs that, even change regulatory environments.
Yeah. Yeah. And we saw some IPOs like Snowflake, which is kind of helps with AI or predictive analytics.
Yeah.
Model, so that's totally on the rise. I think something which hasn't happened, a broad application of unsupervised learning. So most of the stuff we see is basically taking data, creating a model, back testing it, and doing prediction. But the unsupervised learning, where you can build something like AlphaGo, where you don't need data. You do it more kind of game theory and trial and error. I haven't seen any, the commercial applications of that this year.
Yeah, that's true. The one big event this year on AI, which I guess isn't really, too adopted yet, but I believe is going to make a big change in the years to come, is GPT-3, which we talked about in one of the episodes. So there are continuous breakthroughs in this space.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're right. GPT-3 was a big breakthrough, which is one of our episodes, but that's also supervised learning. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, the last one, or the 20th trend of 2020. Is gene editing rising fast? Here I used fast. Everywhere else I didn't. I don't think in any other place I used fast. So that's basically, there are many techniques for that. Most common is CRISPR-Cas9, where you can basically change, add, remove, or alter any particular genetic material in the genome. So for example, you can remove the gene that might give me cancer or something like that. So this year, Jennifer Doudna won Nobel Prize for that. And we see a lot of, you know, it's applied to finding vaccines for understanding the coronavirus or COVID-19. And I see more and more activity in this space. What do you think, Arno?
I don't know. This is a bit outside my field. Could we talk about software as a service? That's easier. joke aside, I don't know about anything part, to be frank. I haven't really followed this space too well. I know that there's a lot of analytics in this space that have made progress. There was a breakthrough as late as last week where they were able to, you know, predict proteins and so forth much better. But whether this is actually goes into the editing as well, I frankly don't know. I know that my genes are exactly the same as last year's. They haven't been changing fast.
You don't know for sure.
That's true.
But it's like whatever I have read, it is increasing fast. Like we were able to find the RNA sequence of the COVID in like weeks. It would have taken, I don't know, before CRISPR-Cas9 a long time. So there is a lot of activity in this space. It doesn't surface as much because it's kind of bio side of things, and you will see more and more coming out of this in the next decade or so. But this year, I can say for sure, it's on the up swing.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, that was the last trend. Thanks for, you know, going through it with me, Arne.
So, thank you. And it seems like, I don't know, I didn't keep score, but it seems that out of 20, I think it was like 18 and two draws, 18 wins and two draws or something like that. I don't know. It seems to definitely being a winning score.
Yeah, I think, well, we didn't say this will have, well, in some places we did say this is the trend. We said observe instead of, you know, predicting the future. We said, let's observe. This is what we see happening in society. Let's observe if they go up or down. And that's what we just did. And we were right for, despite COVID and pandemic, it's amazing. We were right about 90% of them, or 18 of them.
Trends are a strong force, I think.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, thanks everybody for joining us. We wish you happy holidays and happy new year, and we will see you next year on January 14th.
Very good. Happy holidays to everyone.
Okay, thanks. Bye.